We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The following is a KMOX Sports presentation.
2-7-1 for Pittsburgh. 6-10-0 for the Cards. And Martinez delivers. Swing and a ground ball right back to him. That'll do it. One-handed toss. Cardinals win 6-2. Here's the 1-0 delivery now. Swing and he pops it up. It's to the second baseman, and he makes the catch. And the Cardinals win this one. And they're taking the first two from Pittsburgh. This score is 3-1. And the pitch. Long one into center field. Get up, baby. Oh, yeah. It's a home run, and the Cardinals have tied. You know, they pay these guys $10 to $20 million for a reason, don't they?
That home run for Goldschmidt is his 15th for his career against the Pirates. That gives him 46 RBIs. Edmund takes a lead at third base. Three infielders on the left side for Goldie, and the pitch. A swing, and the ball is looped into right center field. RBI single. The Cardinals trail by a run. Three RBIs for Goldschmidt.
And here's the pitch from Webb. Swinging a little fly ball in the short left. It's going to drop. It does drop. Two runs score, and it's now 8-4. George, those two runs to Fernandez.
We're down 8-4 today. We know that we have every chance of getting back in that game like we showed. And even when it comes from someone who's hitting towards the bottom of our lineup, I mean, that's how deep our lineup is. We had Lane hitting 8th today, and he ends up coming up with a huge grand slam. So we just got threats up and down the lineup, and we know how good we can be.
I fouled off some pitches, you know, and he kind of hung a slider that I put a good swing on. And I knew he had, you know, walked and had trouble, you know, throwing to a few guys in front of me. So I knew he was going to throw a fastball and just, you know, tried to get ready for it and put a good swing on it.
3-2 on rookie Lane Thomas. Munoz at second, Kisner at first. With the bases loaded, the 3-2 pitch. Swing and a high fly ball. That's deep to left field. It's a slam! Grand slam, Lane Thomas! The Cardinals have the lead.
Just appreciate the young guys that come in and they're really focused and determined to win baseball games, and their preparation has been really good as well. And the older guys in the clubhouse, the veteran guys, have been really good about Shepherd and what that looks like and being available for them. So it's a good mixture.
9-8 Redbirds in the bottom of the seventh on the third major league home run by Lane Thomas.
I think it's huge. You know, I think it shows a lot about our team and our resilience and how much we want this right now.
Welcome to the Munganess St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
What a weekend! Cardinals sweep the Pirates, a dramatic come-from-behind win yesterday. It is the Monday, August 12th, 2019 edition of Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you until 8 o'clock tonight, and the Cardinals, what a difference a couple of games can make. They beat up on the Pirates after dropping five straight. They get through the stretch of 11 straight games against playoff-caliber teams in the Astros, Cubs, A's, and Dodgers. And on Friday, opened up a stretch of 33 games, 27 of them against teams on the outside of the postseason. And the six against a playoff-caliber team are all against the Brewers, a team that you were chasing and now passed over the weekend. Cardinals win three. They're two behind the Cubs in the Central. They're a half game behind the Nationals for the top wild card spot in the National League. And they keep it rolling. Now 61-55 after the sweep. The bats get going. Cardinals get contributions from just about everyone. And then to make a couple of announcements and moves today. So we're going to talk all baseball over the next hour and 40 minutes or so. Here's my plan. 6:30, Kyle McClellan is going to join me. We'll get Kyle's take on the weekend. 7:15, we'll visit with John Heyman, the national baseball writer and radio.com sports insider. We'll get John's thoughts on the Cardinals in the National League Central and on the postseason races. We'll then talk a little college football, switch gears a little bit as college football is banging down the door. Tony Barnhart of TMGCollegeSports.com and the SEC Network, Mr. College Football, joins me at about 7:35. So that's what I got. Kyle McClellan, John Heyman, and Tony Barnhart coming up on the program and a lot of baseball talk. If you want to get involved, we invite you to do so at 436-7900, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You can follow me on Twitter. Tweet me at C-H-R-A-B-E, C-H-R-A-B-E. Follow us on Twitter at KMOX Sports. That's where you'll get breaking news, behind-the-scenes photos, and more. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Ben Boyd's executive producer of the program. Alex Moskoff, my guy, here in the KMOX studios. Tonight it is Sports Open Line after a Cardinals sweep. All right, a couple of takeaways and a couple of pieces of news. First, you got to beat the bad teams. And Cardinals had not and still have not played as many games against teams under 500 than the Cubs and Brewers. They had not played as many games against teams under 500 and the Washington Nationals before this weekend. Cardinals have now played 51 games against teams that are below 500. They're 31-20. The Cubs are 31-23. The Brewers just 26-28 against teams under 500. So you got to take advantage of that, and especially moving forward, because you are going to see a lot more of those teams. Kansas City and Cincinnati and Colorado and San Francisco, although San Francisco now, although they are under 500, I guess are technically still in the wild card race, especially after a big win last night over the Philadelphia Phillies. So you've got to take advantage of that. And you know what? You can say like, well, it was just the Pirates. Who cares? You've got to win those games. And the Cubs were in danger of dropping 3 of 4 to the Reds. So you've got to win those games. And the Cardinals have done that since the All-Star break. Also saw a lot of encouraging, I think, offensive signs. And I'm not going to repeat every time I talk about something. Well, it was against the Pirates, whatever. But that stretch of 11 games against playoff teams, you struggled. And I think that set the wheels in motion to get some guys some looks and some playing time. I mean, over that stretch of the 11 that started on July the 26th and went until this past Wednesday when the Cardinals got swept out of L.A., you were 3-8. You only scored 26 runs. You scored 7 runs in 5 games in Los Angeles and Oakland. Over that stretch, as a team, you batted .227. As a team, your on-base percentage was .281. As a team, your slugging percentage was .347. Your OPS was .628. Worst OBP, worst slugging, worst OPS in baseball over that stretch. You had the second highest strikeout rate. You only hit 9 home runs over those 11 games. And on Friday, in that 8th inning, you essentially almost equaled like the entire California trip offensive output. But over the weekend, you go 31-96. Team hit 4 doubles, 2 triples, 4 home runs. And I just thought the approach was better. I thought the at-bats were great. And I think that you're seeing a lot of these young guys really be sparks now. Whether it be Tommy Edman, who came up and exploded onto the scene and then maybe hit a bit of a lull there for a while, but now has been really, really good again in a variety of roles and getting on base and making things happen with his legs. Over the weekend, he went 7-for-13 with a double, a triple, 3 runs scored, stole a base. I thought he was fantastic. He's hit .286 in the month of August. Lane Thomas got an opportunity yesterday. He was great. Andrew Kisner's been great. Gyro's been really good. So you've gotten a lot of contributions. And we have been talking for a long time on the show about Randy Arozarena and when we might see him. And for a while, you know, what we heard, whether it be from Mozeliak or Mike Schilt, is that it's about playing time, which totally get. But a guy who was putting up and is putting up just absurd video game numbers in AAA. 80 games in the minors this year, 349, 435, 547. And in AAA, 52 games this year, 368 average, 442 on base, 562 slug for over 1,000 OPS. He scored 41 runs in 52 games. He's got 16 doubles, 7 home runs, stolen 8 bases. He's the guy who makes things happen. Can play every outfield position. And with Jose Martinez getting banged up and going to the IL, it makes sense to bring him up, and I hope that Mike Schilt is aggressive with the lineup the next couple of nights. What I mean by that is I would expect in Kansas City that you could see an outfield of Lane Thomas in center, Dexter Fowler in right, and Randy Arozarena in left. That would be not only a spectacular defensive outfield, because then you can DH Marcell Ozuna in that big ballpark, but it also gives you speed like you haven't had in your lineup. And especially if Tommy Edman gets a start at third base, I don't know if they'll start Carpenter. I mean, they could DH Carpenter and play Ozuna in left, but think of what you have now from a dynamic player standpoint. Guys that can make things happen. Fowler can get on base, make things happen on the base paths. Probably the best guy going first to third on the team. Lane Thomas, Tommy Edman, pure speed, get on base, make things happen. Arozarena, play all three outfield positions, get on base, make things happen. Jairo Munoz, Colton Wong, who all he does is hit. I would love to see Colton Wong get more opportunities at the top of the order. Would love, 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 love it. I think he's earned it. I think he's earned it. And all he's done is put up a team-best 350 OBP this year. Hitting 320 with a 390 on base in August. And since the All-Star break, he's hitting 350 with a 430 on base and a 438 slug. So, love to see Colton Wong get an opportunity. But you have now pieces and weapons that you haven't really had over the last couple of years. And that's with Harrison Bader in Memphis. So I'm excited to see what Mike Schilt does. If Arozarena comes up, I think you got to play him. I think Lane Thomas has certainly earned another start. So what does that mean? Does that mean Carpenter sits? Does that mean that Edmund gets a day off? I mean, that could be in the cards as well. He's played a lot if you wanted to start Carpenter at third base tomorrow. But the Cardinals will see tomorrow night in Kansas City Glenn Sparkman against Jack Flaherty. Wednesday, the Royals are scheduled to start Brad Keller. So Sparkman's a righty. Keller's a righty as well. So maybe you'll see Carpenter. Maybe you'll see Carpenter both days, Carpenter one day. But sure would like to see Randy Arozarena, Lane Thomas, and Dexter Fowler in the outfield. And then, yeah, you can DH Ozuna. But got some weapons, man. You've got some dynamic weapons. And then after Kansas City, you go to Cincinnati, and then have another opportunity in a ballpark that's a bandbox to try to put some runs up and see what the guys can do, see what the kids can do. So I'm excited. I'm really, really, really excited. Because we've been waiting for this. We've been waiting for this. Yadier Molina activated as well. Jose Martinez, as I said, to the IL. Kisner back to AAA Memphis. And the Cardinals also announced the firing of Mark Badaska today. So a lot of moving parts. Day off. And then 16 straight games. Going to play every day from tomorrow until the 29th of August. And we'll talk about it with Kyle again if you want to jump in. 436-7900. But what a difference a couple of days make. Reasons for excitement. I'm excited. It's a fun team right now and a fun lineup. Guys that can do a ton of things. Sports Open Line on a Monday night, an off night for the Cardinals. Hanging out until 8 o'clock. Kyle joins me next on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX. Welcome back. Hanging out until 8 o'clock tonight. Sports Open Line, Chris Raby with you. And coming off a Cardinals sweep of the Pirates. Again, the news, Randy Arozarena purchased. He'll be with the club. Yachty activated. Jose Martinez to the IL. Kisner back to AAA Memphis. Also, the club parts ways with assistant hitting coach Mark Badaska. Daniel Ponce de Leon, too, was named the PCL Pitcher of the Week. He had a massive week. Don't want him to get lost in the shuffle. Kyle McClellan joins us on Sports Open Line. Night off for the Cardinals, and then a couple of games in Kansas City. You always liked playing in Kansas City, didn't you?
I did. I loved going to Kansas City. In those years that I was playing, it was like extra home games for us as well. A ton of Cardinals fans made it. But love the stadium. Love that it's close there. So it's kind of, a little bit of a Cards Cub type feel, I guess, in terms of, a lot of Cardinals fans over there and stuff. But definitely not the same as Cards Cubs as well.
Yeah, it's definitely become that more recently, too. And, the last 5 or 6 years, I know they're kind of in the midst of rebuilding now, but they've been good and their fans have been great. That's such a great ballpark, and when their fans get into it, when Cardinal fans get there, I was there the last couple of years for Cards Royals. It's a great atmosphere.
No, it is. The stadium is beautiful. If you haven't been, it's definitely worth a drive over there for a game. It's not that far, from St. Louis to get over there and take a game in. And it's kind of cool to see the complex there where the football stadium is, and you kind of shelter the parking lot. They like to get there and tailgate, and they kind of treat it like a football game. But it's definitely, in terms of in the stadium and during the game, it's a beautiful stadium.
All right, let's talk about the weekend. Cardinals able to beat up on the Pittsburgh Pirates and take advantage of some more games against teams under 500. They've still played fewer games against teams under 500 than the Cubs and the Brewers. They're now even in number of games against teams under 500 with the Nationals. So, they've got to take advantage of those opportunities like the teams that they're chasing have, and they certainly did this weekend, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely, especially if you're going to miss on some of those opportunities against those good teams. You can't miss on the opportunity to win these ballgames and win the series. They sweep the series in Pittsburgh, and that's great, but you hear me say all the time, you don't have to sweep it. You just got to sweep the series, and if you can focus on that, you're going to make some movement. But nice that they were able to get all three of those, and they have a little stretch here where they can get on a run, get some momentum going, and get back in after, the seesaw of you lose five on the road against some good teams, you think, oh man, the season's over, and what's going to happen now? So they creep back in, schedule swings their way, and they're right there again.
Yeah, Cardinals now 31-20 against teams under 500. Kansas City fits that bill. They'll see the Royals for the next two games. KC just 43-76. The Cubs split in Cincinnati. The Cubs are 31-23 against teams under 500. Milwaukee 26-28. They're under 500. They've actually played the teams above 500 better. But after that brutal stretch of 11 games against the Astros, Cubs, Oakland, then of course the Dodgers, the Cardinals are getting another opportunity to beat up on some of these teams on the outside of the postseason. Friday signaled the start of a stretch of 33 games, only 27 of them against playoff-caliber teams. That's six against the Brewers. So now, three in the books, three wins. That means 24 of the next 30 against teams on the outside of the postseason.
Yep, and they just got to make sure that they don't let those slip away. These ball games are going to be so important here, and you can't lose them by beating yourself. You're going to have there's going to be games where they're going to go out there and their starting pitcher is going to be really good, and that's just going to happen. But you can't make the little mistakes. You can't beat yourself. You can't let them slip away. Got to take advantage of it and make the most of it this time of the year. If you play them in May, you can let them slip by, but you're getting August and September. These games have huge implications.
All right, let's talk about what the Cardinals did well, especially this weekend. And a lot of the young guys continue to really, really provide sparks at the top of the order and throughout the lineup, whether it be Tommy Edman getting on base and running the bases. Obviously, Andrew Kisner has been great, along with Matt Wieters filling in for Yachty. And then Lane Thomas finally gets an opportunity yesterday, hits a triple and hits a grand slam to put the Cardinals up. It was 9-8 after his grand slam. Cardinals were trailing 8-4 going into that inning. Great to see these guys get some opportunities, and we'll see Randy Arozarena get an opportunity now with Jose Martinez headed to the IL. The Cardinals have been fairly aggressive with getting guys up and giving them chances, haven't they?
Well, there's been opportunities. You know, so if you're a guy sitting there at AAA and you're seeing that guys are struggling and, you know, they need a spark, you want to see those young guys come up and do well because they're going to be more apt to take a chance again and see if the next guy's ready and the next guy can fill a spot. So not that you're hoping for injuries by any sense, but you're looking for an opportunity. And when you get them, make the most of it. Another great play by Lane yesterday in the outfield too, the play at the plate, you know, was a great defensive play there. And so that was great to see there. And then the offense was awesome. So, you know, that was a game that you kind of look at in about the, sixth inning, and you're thinking, this is a loss, you know, and they just continue to fight back. He comes out of a big situation and comes through, and they win that ball game where you kind of written them off for a loss. They come back and able to sweep the series.
Yeah, and how about the bullpen, too? We'll get back to the outfield and we'll get back to the offense in a moment, but the Cardinals didn't get one of Michaelis's best starts yesterday. They turned things over to the bullpen. Junior Fernandez makes his debut. He gives up a couple of runs when Tyler Webb gives up the bloop to center, but Gant, Brebbia scoreless. And Webb has been really, really good. I know for a while the unheralded guy that we talked about was John Gant, but now I think it should be Tyler Webb, because if you go back to the All-Star break, since the break, Tyler Webb has thrown 9 1/3 innings. He's given up just 3 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk. He's struck out 11. He's been just exactly what Mike Schilt has needed in a lot of different situations, and that's kind of summed up the Cardinals' bullpen at this point of the season.
Yeah, and another guy that coming into the year, I don't know if you were really counting on him to be a big asset, you know, a big part of that bullpen. But that bullpen,
he wasn't even on the team.
Right. Well, even in spring training, it was like, yeah, you know, you might. But, I mean, now you're looking at, this is the go-to guy and late in the game. And same thing for Gant, same thing for a lot of these guys. So it's been – their bullpen has been outstanding. I mean, if it wasn't for them, what they've done – and they haven't had a stretch, a weakness all year. I mean, they have been solid all year long. They haven't had any letdowns. And if it wasn't for them, these close games, they've won the close games, but also – They've kept them in the games where the starter doesn't go very well. A ton of innings that allowed that offense to chip away and then bounce back the next day. Even when they're kind of down and they've thrown a ton of innings, they still are there the next day if the starter doesn't go deep. So they've taken on a huge load this year, and they've just been phenomenal from start to up till this point. Hopefully they don't run out of steam and they can keep this thing going, but they haven't shown any signs of that so far.
Yeah, you can rattle down just about all of the names, and all of a sudden all those guys' ERAs are creeping down. Andrew Miller gave up the run yesterday, but still picked up his fourth save of the year. And again, it's been a really nice to see. Let's talk a little bit about some more of the young guys and some of the options that Mike Schilt will have moving forward. We've seen that Schilt, he's open to playing guys who are playing well and sitting guys who aren't. And Matt Carpenter probably falls into the ladder now as he's back off the IL and trying to get going. I thought he had some good at-bats over the weekend. But especially with the DH in Kansas City the next couple of days, you could see, I suppose, Marcell Ozuna DHing and an outfield of Fowler, Rosarena, Lane Thomas, and maybe even an infield with Tommy Edmund playing third base.
I would imagine you're going to see that. And I think this is the time of the year where if you bring a young kid up, you're going to want to see what he can do and what he can contribute. Now, he's not going to have a very long opportunity to do it. So when you do get that chance, you're going to have to do well. But we talked about Chris for a long time. When Matt comes back, he's got to go. Yeah, we've seen him struggle for 4 months of the season. And so when he comes back off of this, he's not going to have the luxury of having to figure it out. If he doesn't have it figured out after, you know, a short period of time, they're going to have to find something else. And so I think for the young guys, they're kind of in that same boat. It's like, all right, we'll give this a shot, see how he does. Maybe he can be hot for a week or two, carry us to a couple wins. If he cools off, we'll throw somebody else in there until somebody really establishes himself. But Mike Schilt, he has managed completely different since the All-Star break. I mean, it was like, as soon as they came back from the All-Star break, you know, starting pitchers are out of there quicker. He's making moves. He's putting relievers in the spots earlier in the game. Jose Martinez pinch hit the other day early on when the starter didn't even have, 50 pitches, 60 yeah. pitches. So you're seeing him manage this more like a postseason style because he knows how important everyone is. And, you know, you're going to come down to this and you're going to be in or out by maybe a game or two. And so he's not going to let this season away by losing the game that they could have won by handling a little bit differently.
Yeah, I wonder, too, the importance over the next couple of games in Kansas City and then also in Cincinnati for defense. In those two ballparks with the DH and KC and, you know, with Flaherty, Hudson, Wainwright, with a question mark about Michael Wacha's next start, if he'll go, if you'll have an opener, if you'll have a bullpen game. You know, the Cardinals have played really, really, really good defense, which we don't always see in the same vein as scoring runs, but preventing runs as important as scoring them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where I think, you know, we're going to see how he thinks the pitchers match up and what the offense is doing. I mean, the offense is nice, and if a guy can contribute offensively as well as cover a ton of ground out there and do something that a guy's not, obviously that's a huge bonus. But he's going to have to pick in this situation and this ballpark and this, you know, against their lineup. We need more defense than we do offense, and this is the approach we're going to take. So I think you're going to see that kind of in a – and now Cincinnati, you might – it's not as big of a park. Kansas City can spread you out a little bit, but the ball flies in Cincinnati, so he might elect to go more offense. So it'd be interesting to see the choices that he does make.
You're going to play 16 games in a row now after the off day today. You'll play every day through the 28th before an off day on the 29th, and then you'll be right on the doorstep of rosters expanding. But I wonder what the Cardinals do with their pitching. They've talked about using an opener. They haven't really committed to Michael Wacha, at least as of yesterday. We'll see what they do, but you know, all of these games are so important, and I'm just not sure. I don't know your opinion, but I'm just not sure you can afford to throw Wacha back out there again with the struggles he's had starting.
Well, I think his last two games, I think, has shown you that it would be a tough one. So I think they're probably looking for other opportunities, and trying to get to September where they have more options is probably what they're going to try to do. You've had these off days here, so you can manipulate it a little bit, but then once you get past the off days, you're going to have to figure something out until you can get to that expansion where a Ponce de Leon is going to be there. And it's not necessarily as much who's going to start it, but it's how you're going to cover those innings if the starter doesn't go well. Right now, they do that. They're wiped out. Their bullpen's wiped out for a couple days if you have a starter only go two innings. If Ponce is there and can fill that gap, you know, he's a guy that stands in there. You can have a couple more pitchers on your roster, and it's going to make it a little bit easier.
What would you have thought as a bullpen guy if they had asked you to come out as the opener and start a game and throw an inning or two?
I mean, I would say, hey, I got the opportunity to start again for this shit. I mean,
yeah, would it have thrown you off or thrown your preparation off coming out of the bullpen and not starting? Or would you just treat it like a start?
Well, I think it's definitely – you're talking about from a starter, from a normal starter standpoint that now comes in as a reliever?
I'm saying if you were a reliever and then they said you're going to be our opener.
Oh.
And we're going to throw you one or two innings or whenever your at-bat comes up.
Yeah, and you might see that, you know, sometimes in some doubleheaders or whatnot, they might say, hey, this is going to be a bullpen game, and a guy goes out there. It's definitely different preparation. I mean, a reliever never has the opportunity, especially if you're pitching at home, to go out there and scratch the mound, be the very first person to scratch the mound and throw on a clean mound. There's just, you think about it all day long versus the phone ringing and you're in. Relievers tend to operate better that way. You know, starters don't like it the other way where they get all of a sudden they're thrown in. They like that preparation. So it's definitely a huge difference on the preparation side. There was one thing that Adam Wainwright and I talked a lot about when I was a reliever for 3 years and then went into the starting rotation. It was, how am I going to prepare myself for this? Because I did it in the minor leagues, but at this level, you know, how do I handle this? And he helped me a lot, as did Dave Duncan, on that preparation and how to switch my mindset. But I treated it still like a reliever. I didn't long toss. Adam still doesn't do that. I kind of went right to the mound and did my normal bullpen routine, just knowing I was going to do it longer. But I think most guys, they definitely struggle, and you have to pick that guy out of that bullpen that you think can handle that situation.
Yeah, I do wonder if they decide that they want to go more conventionally over the next month, whether it be Ponce de Leon, and, you know, I have to give him a lot of credit. Have you seen what he's done in AAA since he's been back? He's been unbelievable. Whether he comes up or at some point in August or September, if they want to add Jake Woodford to the 40-man, Woodford's been really good, too. Over 128 innings in AAA this year. He has a 4.15 ERA, but 17 of the 59 runs he's given up have come over two starts, and you know how that can happen in that league. I remember being really impressed by him and having some guys now that if you can get them onto the roster, Ponce already obviously on the roster, they could give you some flexibility and could provide maybe a variety of roles.
Yeah, and Gomber as well. I mean, is a guy that we've seen in the past that's done well, had some success at the big league level. But that's what I mean. If you get two or three of those guys on the roster, you can go with a Michael Wacha. And the first sign of trouble, if he gives you 1 2/3, you can go because you have guys that can extend it out. But if you don't have those guys on the roster right now, you throw somebody out there that only goes an inning and 2/3, man, it wipes you out for that whole series. It's really detrimental to your bullpen because now somebody's having to step up. John Gant's going to end up throwing him. 2 2/3, and that's going to hurt him, you know, the ability to pitch the next day and the day after that. So it's uh it's definitely right now you can tell on that fifth day, which is we talked about the trade deadline. I mean, this is the biggest spot that they needed to address. They weren't able to do it, so they have to get to September until they can add some bodies and some arms. Not saying it's going to be, you know, the best options, but it's going to give them the ability to cover those innings.
Yeah, I know you're going to be real busy all week getting ready for a huge night for Braves for Impact on Saturday over at Busch Stadium. Tell folks about what you guys are getting ready for and what's going to be going on over at the ballpark on Saturday night for the foundation.
We are. It's been over a year into the planning, but we are doing our first gala. Then you and Tom Ackerman are our MCs for the evening. Chris Carpenter is our keynote speaker, which is going to be awesome. We have several other celebrities coming in, flying in from out of town, coming in that are here in St. Louis. We have Konzo Martin from the Mizzou basketball coach going to be there as well. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. About 400 guests, and we're going to get the opportunity to not only celebrate the work that's been done, but also be able for the first time to really sit people down and go into an in-depth description of the work that we're doing in Haiti and North City, really give them a peek behind the curtain of all the details of the program that we're doing and how we're going about it. They get to meet our partners. We're flying our doctor in from Haiti. We got him a visa to be there, so people get to meet him. So we're really excited about it, but I will be ready when it's over. That's for sure. It's been a year of planning, and we are ready for it to be here and to go away as well.
Well, it's going to be an awesome night, and I know you guys have already sold the thing out, the attendance and the support there is going to be unbelievable. But if folks want to, again, learn more about what you guys are always doing and some other exciting things that you have coming up, they can always go to braceforimpact46.com. We appreciate it, man. I'll talk to you tomorrow before game one of Cardinals and Royals. Thanks for jumping on.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Kyle McClellan joining us on the program. Yeah, I wonder about Ponce de Leon because Cardinals have not committed to Michael Wacha again in the rotation. And Ponce has been really good this year at times when he's been up and has been awesome in Memphis, almost unhittable at times. Went seven innings his last time out in Sacramento, seven shutout innings, two hits, no walks, 11 strikeouts. And the start before that against El Paso, four innings, he had three walks, eight strikeouts, 84 pitches. So that's 11 innings, two hits, no runs, three walks and 19 strikeouts in a hitter's league as well. So I wouldn't be shocked to see Ponce get another opportunity very, very soon. Let's take a break. Phone number is 436-7900. We can take your calls, your thoughts, if you want to talk all things Cardinals. Getting ready to chat with John Heyman at 7:15 as well. Chris Raby hanging out until 8 on Sports Up Online. All right, thanks to Kyle McClellan for hopping on. Got just a couple of minutes before the news at the top of the hour. Let's say hello to Mike. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Not much. Just wonder if there was a stat for unforced errors because the Cardinals would lead in that because, what, DeJong got doubled off second. Nobody talks about that from yesterday, which the ball's right in front of him. Why does he take off? And always got to go through the infield, guys. We learned that in Little League, right? Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, there are always, I think, glaring examples. And I think that as fans that watch every game, you probably fly a little close to the sun at times in terms of thinking that your team is the only team that makes errors, and it makes errors on the base paths. I can tell you, Mike, that there are some stats, some team stats that are calculated. For instance, FanGraphs, which is a website I love, their Sabermetrics library, they have a base running stat. It's called BSR. It takes into account stolen bases, cost stealing, and every other base running play, taking the extra base, being thrown out, getting doubled off. It takes all of those that every team has, it creates a baseline, and then it rates teams on their overall base running. And according to their BSR staff, the Cardinals are the third best base running team in Major League Baseball this year, behind the Diamondbacks and the Rangers. So take that with a grain of salt, perhaps, but that's what I can tell you, is that according to that stat, which takes everything into consideration, the Cardinals are one of the best, base running teams in Major League Baseball. But again, all numbers should be taken with a grain of salt. Sometimes the eye test, it ticks you off, but there was a lot of good base running yesterday, too. A lot of good base running. We'll take a break, come back after the news. John Heyman's going to join us. You can also take your phone calls, 436-7900. Chris Rabian, a Cardinals off night, hanging out in Sports Open Line until 8 o'clock on your home for Cardinals Baseball, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.